Good morning, everyone. Greet each one in Jesus' name. Thank you, James, for those verses. It is God that girdeth me with strength. No matter what position you have, as far as maybe you're a dad or a mom or an employee or employer, there's many times in life that we need God's strength in our life. Thank you, Brother James, for those thoughts. Enjoyed the singing as well this morning. One song that stood out to me was, "Together we seek thee. We plead thee, we need thee for brightness within." Our tendency is to get dark, and we need God's light in us. The role and work of a deacon, yeah, part of me was thinking this would be a good job for somebody else. Maybe a minister or a bishop, or even someone not from the same congregation. But I learned a long time ago, when your preachers or your bishop tell you to preach, you may as well just do it, get it done with it. So anyhow, I want to try to do that this morning. Role and work of a deacon. What does a deacon all do? I know what a six-year-old thinks a deacon does here. Quite a few years ago, Austin, when he was about six, came home from church with the bank envelope, and he said, "It's one thing nice about being a deacon, we keep all the money." And so I had to just explain a little bit to him that, yeah, we actually don't keep any of it. It's God's money, and it's the people we go to church with, and we just take care of some of it, put it in the bank. And anyhow, so the word deacon in the Webster is, Noah Webster, a person in the lowest degree of holy orders. Also in the Greek, it's a servant. And also, the deacon comes from a compound Greek word that means to stir up the dust. It presents the picture of one who is moving so rapidly through the dusty lanes of the village of Palestine that his feet kick up dust as he goes. And I can identify with some of that sometimes, maybe not in the winter time, but there was so much for the deacons to do, they could not loiter or tarry. So those who were set apart to the ministry were called those who stirred up the dust, or deacon. Turn into your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. I would like to just look at a lot of scripture verses here. Of course, we don't 100% know what all the deacons did in the Bible. We know they took care of some of the needs. The widows were being neglected. So I'm going to add some of the things that we do as a church deacon. Acts 6, verse 1 to 7. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So one question I had is, why do we need more deacons? And I was just looking here in these the first few verses here. Well, I think the reason was that the church was getting bigger. It was getting more people. There's more people, there's more needs, and there needs to be more deacons. And it's the church's duty to meet the people's needs, spiritually and physically. I read of a few of the liberal Mennonite churches that are not having any deacons anymore. They don't have their brotherhood aid, they have insurance, so they don't need the deacons. And we feel the Bible wants us to have deacons in our churches. Verse 2, the first point I have is, deacons serve. Verse 2 here, the deacons were to serve tables. And that serving tables is distribution of food for those in need, such as widows and the poor. And by the deacons doing that, taking care of some of those material things, that left the 12 apostles to devote themselves to focus on the spiritual. We'll look at that a little bit more later. Number 2, deacons take care of the financial of the church. You could say alms fund, or we call it brotherhood aid fund. I'm going to go to Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 32, I'd like to read a few verses. Acts 4, 32 to 37. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the thing which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we could say there that in the early church, Barnabas, he sold some property, and that was to help the needs in the congregation, brotherhood aid. Just a few practical things that I do here at Ridgeview. Of course, every Sunday we have an offering, so we take the money to the bank beginning of the week. We have one account, but in the ledger I have different school building, I have the school, brotherhood aid, general, mission. So it's important to keep all that stuff straight. Of course, the ministerial aid gets split between four of us, James and Sherbin and Steve and I. And here in our church, we have the trustees are the ones that make that percent. And the job is too to pay bills. There's electric bills, water bills for the church, EMP, Haynes Printing, Rod and Staff, Smith Paper. There's just anything you buy needs to get paid, just like you have to do as well. Self-insurance on your vehicles, hospital bills, and if you have an envelope system, that gets written down on a paper every week, and at the end of the year, that needs to be tallied up. And that's what's here this morning. It's important that we keep all records. If you're building or buying a house, and you need to make a loan from the bank, they need a form to show that you that the church will help you with fire or flood. So we try to keep all the forms there. Some of the few little things that we do. The goal of a deacon is to take care of people's needs. People are poor and needy more than just financial ways. Maybe they're poor in health. Maybe they're poor in courage, poor in spiritual health. Maybe they're poor in stability. And deacon's job and the ministries are, the job is to help those people through those times. Number three, the deacons assist other church leaders. Here in Acts 6 again, the deacons took the load off of the shoulders of the 12 apostles so they could engage themselves in the primary calling to pray, preach, and teach. Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's what the ministers are, to prayer, preach, and teach. And that word continually there, I thought that was interesting. Continually to prayer means continue steadfast, to continue on and on. The minister is to pray and pray. The minister is to study and study. The minister is to preach and preach and teach and teach. They couldn't do both. That's why they have the deacons here. They were neglecting. The deacons were being neglected. Then also in verse 5, it says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. Could you say there that's 100% to have a deacon ordination there? And I was pleased with Ridgeview with their 100%. Each person needs to take his part in the ministry. We need to take our place as a deacon. But we also help each other sometimes. If I'm gone, the ministry can do what I'm doing, and sometimes vice versa. D.L. Moody said, it is better to put 10 men to work than to do the work of 10 men. Now I'd like to look there in Acts 6, 1-7. What qualifies a deacon in Scripture? Verse 3. Honesty is number 1. Look ye among you 7 men of honest report. A deacon handles money, checks, and cash, being entrusted with the care of the needy. A deacon should be accurate in accounting, also prompt in payments. Late payments to community businesses leave a poor testimony of the church. And there's different times I talked to someone that was over in Africa, and the poor parts of the world like Africa there, it's very hard to find a person to take care of the church monies. It's a real struggle because they're very, very poor, and a little bit of money in their fingers wants to go in their pocket. Another thing that qualifies a deacon is number 2 would be full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you with 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Could we say spirit-filled? Then verse 5, I like there, it says, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Really, that's all the same thing. Full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit. Think about it. The Jerusalem church needed to set aside new leaders to minister to the people's needs and also to heal the fellowship. There in verse 1, they were murmuring. So they had to heal the fellowship. These men needed the presence of the Spirit of God. A deacon's attitude must be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If a deacon's mission is to restore peace, unity between brothers, he needs to approach the situation with an attitude of openness and fairness. Turn to James chapter 1. I'd like to read one verse there. James 1 verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We need to be swift to hear. Listen. Number 3 would be wisdom. Go back to Acts. Acts chapter 6. Honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. After Stephen's ordination, he dialogued with certain groups of Jews, and they were disputing with Stephen. Verse 8 to 10, I like to read this time. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of Liberians and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of the Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. See, they were disputing there. Verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. I like those verses. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. I believe the Holy Spirit put words in Stephen's mouth. Where you have people, you often say you have problems. The one thing nice about and wonderful about God is God doesn't have any problems, but he has plans. God doesn't have problems, but he has plans. Let's remember that as we go through life. Now in James, I want to turn to James again. Read a few verses there. And here's a promise that each one of us can claim. Here's one, a deacon can claim this as well. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if you ever feel like you don't have enough of wisdom, you can ask of God. He has all the wisdom. Now, James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Wisdom from above. God is the one that gives us wisdom. Now turn to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 2. Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God the Father, Jesus Christ, has the wisdom, and the treasures are with him, and we just need to ask for them. Deacons should have a sense of perspective and not make a mountain out of a molehill. And also deacons need to be fair. In attempting to solve a problem, it takes little skill to turn it into a major issue. It's so easy for us to, something is broke and let's quick fix it. Get a hammer and maybe a nail and even make it ring shank so you can't get it out. But that's not how it works with working with people. Number four, quality of a deacon, knowledge of the scripture. Stephen made numerous quotations from the Old Testament. He was well acquainted. He was well acquainted with the Old Testament scriptures. I'd like to turn to Acts 7, and here's where he is preaching. I'm not going to read the whole chapter here. Acts 7, verse 3. And said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, come into the land which I shall shew thee. Verse 6. And God spake on this wise, that this his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and they should bring them into the bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. Verse 7, and the nation to whom they shall be in bondage, why judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. Verse 18, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. Verse 20, in which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. He's preaching here in the Old Testament. Verse 26, and the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would not have them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? Verse 32 yet, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. See, he had the knowledge of the scriptures. Stephen did. Number five, discernment. Acts 7, verse 51. Right before this here, they accused Stephen. Accused him, and he went from the historical, which he was preaching about the New Testament, to this verse here, 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. He went from the historical to the practical. He seemed to have discerned the heart condition of the crowd. When there is a crisis, the deacon needs to be available. A deacon should have a good heart. The best exercise for strengthening the heart is reaching down and lifting people up. Deacons need discernment as well, as far as how much should they help someone financially. Number six, deacons need to work to make peace. See in verse 1 there, now we're back to Acts 6 again. The church was getting bigger and more people were coming. And there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected. The deacons normally make the initial contact where there are interpersonal problems. Could you call it troubleshooting? He will want to make peace where there is pieces. Number seven, deacons should witness and evangelize. Now I'd like to turn to Acts 6 verse 9, real close there, 9 and 10. I read those verses before. Verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Wouldn't you say there that he witnessed with his attitude? And also in verse 15, and all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. There, I think the deacon, he witnessed with his countenance. If God calls you to it, he will get you through it. Now I'm going to turn to the next part of the message, 1 Timothy 3. Timothy 3, 8 to 16. Now we're talking about verse 1 there, it's bishops and deacons. And verse 8 to 16, it says some things that deacons should not be. Verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so much their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar, the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believing on the word, the world, received up into glory. There in verse 8, pick out those four things there. He's supposed to be grave. That's serious-minded, committed to Christ. Doesn't mean a long face, just serious-minded and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and everything he does. Also in verse 8, not double-tongued. Double-tongued is saying one thing to one person and something different to another person. Also saying one thing to a person's face and something else behind his back. And he is saying we should not be double-tongued. James wrote that the person who is able to control what he says is able to control his whole body. He also says no one can tame the tongue. That implies that such control only comes with God's indwelling presence. The Holy Spirit needs to be in our heart, so the things that come out of our mouth are Holy Spirit. Also in verse 8, not given too much wine. Given in the Greek is pay attention, be concerned about. Lots of people thought they could stop with just a little bit of wine or a little bit of alcohol. It means here that don't be a drunkard. Verse 8, not to greed of filthy lucre. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Filthy lucre is not to be a lover of worldly gain and possessions. Filthy lucre also means dishonest profit. I believe God wants us to make a profit, but he wants it to be an honest profit. I think what Paul was saying here is trust in God. Don't trust in your money because they have wings. In Matthew, it also talks about trusting in can't trust in money, mammon, and God at the same time. So let's remember to trust in God. And also the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Obsession for possession. Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatsoever circumstance I am. I know what it's like to have little, and I know what it's like to have a lot. Whether well-fed or hungry, in abundance or in need, I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. The word greed was not used in the Greek. So the phrase before that was given. If you look there in verse 8, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy and filthy lucre. So if you take that given phrase means, the given in the Greek means pay attention to and be concerned about. You know, I think we need to make a living, but we need to think about others. Not everything is ourselves for ourselves. Verse 11 talks about the deacon's wives must be grave, not slanderers, no talebearer, no gossiper. A person who goes about talking about others, stirring up mischief and disturbance. The deacon should have a wife who is committed to the Lord and to the church as he is. Deacons' wives do a lot behind the scenes, making meal schedules for moms with babies and hostess and cleaning schedules, making communion bread. There's many things that they do that you don't think about sometimes. Remember one of our first services we had here, the bishop forgot to make communion bread. I still remember they went out to Walmart and got pizza crust. It worked, but it's still not the same. It's all part of looking ahead. One thing we are very thankful for is a congregation that we have here to help you are to us. And so many times the deacon needs to be looking about 4 to 6 months ahead all the time, it seems. One thing to remember, we are just ordinary people doing God's work. Sometimes I hear whenever there's an ordination and there's a few in the lot, sometimes I hear, I just don't feel qualified to be a deacon. And I can understand that. Genesis 12:1. I'm going to read a few verses here in closing. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless thee that bless thee, and I curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, and the Lord had spoken unto him. Cease reading there. God promised to go with Abram, even though he didn't know where to go. And sometimes, even as a deacon, you don't understand everything. There's a lot of times you have to ask for wisdom, but God promises to be with us, with you. Also turn to Exodus 3, verse 12. Exodus 3, verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses there protested his inadequacy to lead God's people. And God said, I will be with you. Now, in closing, John 14, I want to read yet. John 14, verse 16. 16, 17, and 26. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Verse 26, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Some wonderful verses there. When you feel like you're at the end of your rope, or maybe you're way out of your comfort zone, remember, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, be with you. Your faithfulness gives me energy, so you're all a blessing to me. I want to read yet what was read at my ordination. I have the deacon's vows and the deacon's charge. This was read October 19 of 2012. Are you willing to accept this service and by the grace of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit to give yourself up to the work of the Lord, which is this office demands of you as a faithful laborer in the Church of Christ? Do you promise herewith to give heed to all the doctrines of the Word of God, to accept them as the rule and guide of your life, and to maintain and teach them together with the biblical teachings and forms of the worship of the Mennonite Church, as far as the duties of the office of the deacon shall require of you, and faithfully abide in them unto the end? Are you willing to assist in conducting the church or congregation at which you are called to labor in accordance with the instruction and teachings of the gospel and the counsels of the Church of Christ, subjecting yourself to the other faithful leaders with whom you labor, and in all things to show yourself an approved workman in the vineyard of the Lord? Now the deacon's charge. Brother Kirvin, upon this confession and these promises that you have made before God and these witnesses, I herewith, in the name of Jesus Christ and his church, charge and ordain you to the office of a deacon, to which you have been called. It will be your duty to receive and care for the charities of the church, to distribute them to the members who are needy according to their needs, to visit the sick, the widows, and the orphans, and comfort them, praying with them in their affliction, to assist the bishop in the administration of baptism and communion, to bear testimony to the truth in his ministration, and when the need arises, or when you are called upon, it will be your duty to preach the word of God. When strife or difficulties arise, it will be your duty to do all to bring about a reconciliation and restore unity and peace. Be faithful to the Lord, and he will grant you wisdom and understanding from on high. He will give you grace to do his work, and he will bless you in all your duties. The grace of God be with you. God bless each of you. Let's kneel for prayer.